Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Charlie, as you know, as the debate about the Iraq war goes on, it's getting nastier. This week, Representative Jack Murtha, who was the first to call for withdrawal of American troops from Iraq, decided to make an issue of Karl Rove's what?
His depressingly unindicted backside.
Exactly right. Although, we'll go so far as to say his big behind is what Mr. Murtha talked about. He was appearing in Meet the Press.
Were other parts of him indicted?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Anyway, on Meet the Press, Murtha was asked about Rove's accusations that he and other anti-war Democrats were calling for the U.S. to, quote, cut and run. Murtha responded by saying, quote, he's sitting in his air-conditioned office on his big, fat backside saying, stay the course. Rove responded by issuing orders to have Murtha killed. When informed he couldn't actually do that, at least not anymore, Rove issued a statement about his behind saying, that's not cellulite, it's just Dick Cheney's undisclosed location. That's where he's been hiding. Sue, in a first for the World Cup, getting back to the World Cup for a second, about 1,000 fans showed up to watch the Dutch team in a match this week against the Ivory Coast in what unusual condition?
Pantless.
Exactly
right.
They were
in their underwear.
They were. The fans... The fans showed up at the stadium wearing pants in the traditional orange colors of the Dutch team, but the pants had been provided to them by a brewery and had a beer logo on them. And the rules of the World Cup are there can be no beer ads in the stadium other than those from World Cup sponsor Anheuser-Busch, the American brewery that's trying to get Europeans to drink enough American beer to become inured to its taste.
They'll never do it.
Anyway, the fans were like, hey, no problem, and 1,000 of them dropped trow en masse and enjoyed the match and, of course, the breeze.
Did they all pick their pants up on the way home, or did they just sort of leave them in a bin?
I don't know. Well, I imagine, you know, once you've gone pantsless, it's hard to go back, I think.
A lot of them went home without their trousers on because there were great photographs of them cycling home as
ow.
With their in their underwear.
Right. Well, thank God they didn't, you know, they didn't go commando or anything. They were prepared for it.
I think there might be some World Cup rules on that as well.
Now it's time to open up the wait mailbag and see what's hanging around in there. Last week, panelist Amy Dickinson and I started talking about the poems of Emily Dickinson, and we agreed that the great thing about Emily Dickinson was that all of her poems could be sung to the tune of the Yellow Rose of Texas. You know, like, because I could not stop for death, she kindly stopped for me. That one. Well, our audience, being our audience, we got letters taking issues with that assertion. We heard an interesting thesis from Joe Ledvina of Clemson University in South Carolina. Joe, welcome to Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter.
Well, thanks for your letter. So you had a problem with the Yellow Rose of Texas theory of Emily Dickinson.
Yeah, well, it's not quite true that every Emily Dickinson poem can be sung to the Yellow Rose of Texas, and maybe a handful can't.
Well, that's really more her problem than ours. Anyway, you were saying.
And I heard a better song years ago to sing Emily Dickinson poems to is the Gilligan's Island theme song. So it becomes, because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me.
I'd say that's compounded Ms. Dickinson's problem.
Do you think that's a coincidence, or do you think that there was some sort of weird Nostradamus-like prediction of Gilligan's Island in her prosody?
That song can get stuck in your head.
Right.
So she may have had the Gilligan's Island theme song stuck in her head.
I understand how that can happen. It happened to me. It's like little we do know that the Belle of Amherst had a little black and white TV in the corner of her.
If you don't mind, Peter, I'd like to demonstrate to the audience how The Odyssey can be sung to Mary Had a Little Lamb. It'll take a while.
Okay. Joe Ledvina, thank you so much for your letter. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. And now, a correction. A few weeks ago, we were talking about the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which had created a series of TV ads to defend the honor of greenhouse gas carbon dioxide. I said that the CEI was, quote, entirely funded by the energy industry. That's not true. They're only partially funded by the energy industry. They're also funded by corporations from the automobile industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the plastics industry, and the chemical industry, and a bunch of freedom-loving individuals and foundations. We regret the error.